Good morning and welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we're going to be learning Esther, Perek Vov, the sixth chapter of the Megillas Esther. Our Perek has 14 psukim in it, and it is really broken up into sections. What is worthwhile noting is that there are really two stories being interwoven. There's the personal drama, the personal battle between Haman and Mordechai, the slight that Haman feels, which he's not going to let rest. And there's the battle that Haman has with all of Israel, the national battle. Haman has allowed those to become intermeshed. He has taken what has been a personal grievance and he's turned that into a national grievance, which is taking things out of proportion. What is interesting is that as we're going towards the resolution of the national crime, the national genocide which is slated, we're going to now be seeing that first what is resolved is the personal drama, the personal clash. And this perek, before next perek where the national drama is resolved, we have now the resolution of the personal drama between Mordechai and Haman. Let's take a look at the perek. Our first 11 psukim are really the central part of this perek, in which the king is awake at night and Haman's plan is flipped on its head. So we know, bad laila hu nadadosh nas amelech, on that night the king's sleep was not going so well. In fact, there's a custom when laying the Megillah to read Hamelech, like it would be done on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, to remind one that this is not just about Achashverosh, but this is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plans, so to speak, where this is the pivotal moment in the Megillah. And so he says, you know, I can't sleep. Bring me Sefer HaZichronos, my book of Chronicles. And he reads them and he finds just that paragraph where a foiled plot of assassination against the king by Big Son and Teresh is foiled by Mordechai. And he says, you know, tell me something, did we ever like reward him? And they say, nothing, no, say more davar. Just at that moment, the king says, who's here? Haman happens to be in the chatzer, and he's just outside. And he's in the meantime planning to get permission to put up this gallows and hang Mordechai on it. And he actually really put up the gallows, he just wants the permission to hang Mordechai. And the Na'arim tell the king that Haman's in the yard, and he says, let him come in. And the king says, before Haman has a chance to get in a word edgeways, he says, what would you think we should do for somebody the king really wants to honor? Now, Haman is one of these kind of people, I'm sure we all know these kind of people in varying degrees, who really only see the world through the prism of themselves. Yes, there's nothing else outside of themselves. They are the prism to their own existence. And so he says to himself, as the Megillah tells us, you know, he says to himself, you know, who could the king want to honor more than me? Thereby, without the meta-analysis and awareness that there are other people outside of himself, he makes this most really, you know, pretty lavish kind of reward. He says, you know, you should bring levush malchus, the clothes the king has ridden, and a horse which the king has ridden, and take keser malchus and put it on his head. Discussion if it's the head of this person or the head of the horse. Nonetheless, and he should be brought through by one of the higher officers in the king's court through the streets and be called in front of him. This is what the king does to people who he wants to reward. And the king says, that's such a fantastic idea, Haman. You go do that. Don't even remove one of the suggestions you just made. And that's what happens. Out he goes and he takes Mordechai. So let's just stop here before we get to the second section. Just a few points to ponder. Isn't that a strange thing? You know, like, I don't know about you, but when you have trouble going to sleep at night, do you pull out the Sefer Chronicles? Is that the first thing you go to? Now, maybe because it's very boring, so you might go to sleep. Why is the king pulling out the Sefer HaZichronos? So Or Chadosh, the Maharal, points out in a very, very beautiful, beautiful note here. He says a very interesting thing. He says, look, the king felt that there's something going on. He felt that somebody's manipulating him, and he was right. Esther was manipulating him. He felt that maybe Esther and Haman were in cahoots, because why would she bring Haman to the Seuda that just happened that day? Which is very likely, because that's what Esther was trying to engender, is distrust. So he says, if there's something going on behind my back, why is nobody coming forward and telling me the truth and telling me what the plot is? So he says, you know what? Maybe I didn't give enough rewards to people who show about foiled assassinations. Maybe what I need to do is find anybody who's done this kind of thing beforehand, who's brought forth plots against me, and ensure that they are rewarded so that this plot that I feel there's something wrong now, can be in fact effect. And that's why he's reading this specific thing, because it's actually addressing the cause of concern that he has that night as well. What is worthwhile noting over here, as the Malbim points out, is that there are three moving wheels here. There's a few things for this to all coalesce. The king not sleeping, the king reading this particular paragraph, and Haman walking in just at the moment where the king wants to work out what to do. That's a lot of coincidences to happen from the perspective of those who do not have God in the picture. Now, let's go one step further. Why is Haman here in the middle of the night? I mean, at this point, the king's not sleeping. We understand. King is not sleeping. Haman, what are you doing? So unfortunately, Nebuch, when you have people who are so self-concerned, they're so concerned, consumed by anger, vengeance, and all those kind of wonderful, you know, attributes, they don't have a grip on themselves. It's what's called sinna, melkalkeles ashura. That hatred, you know, makes people do extraordinarily stupid things. Like they go, he's here in the middle of the night. Think about this. Wait until the morning, Haman. What happens if the king isn't sleeping? It is sleeping. But the Haman is so bent upon hurting Mordechai and getting revenge that he doesn't even have normal expectations of what he's doing. Now, another question worthwhile asking is that couldn't the king find another courtier? Meaning he could just say, you know, find another fellow in his palace who can lead Mordechai through the streets. Why is Haman becomes the person who's going to carry out this message? After all, Haman is the loftiest minister. Why? Says the Malbim, if you remember back, one of the reasons that the Malbim suggested that Haman actually was Oile Ligdula, that he ascended to the rank he did, was because when the king saw the foiled assassination plot, and he attributed it to Esther, but who was the one who got Esther into her throne was Haman, who was Memuchan. So therefore he says to him, he joined the dots together and gave Haman the credit for that. But really, at this point in time, when he realizes, as he reads this paragraph in the book, that the credit really isn't due to Haman whatsoever, it's about Mordechai, who went out of his way to relay the plot, then he says, wait a second, the power which Haman himself was, so to speak, benefiting from was not his own. It was actually the accolades Mordechai was deserving, which is why Haman deserves to give back to Mordechai. And what's more now, he also now is reaching for the crown. And this leads us to a very important point. There's a discussion in general in the Gemara as to whether Achashverosh Melech Tipesh or Melech Chacham, whether he was just a fool who anybody could kind of, you know, prod in the right direction with enough drink, or he was really a mastermind and he was controlling everything. It's a very fascinating debate, and Rav Amos Chacham points out we could look at this particular episode from those two perspectives. If he was a Melech Tipesh, you know, the poor fellow, he drinks too much every single day. He's got indigestion. His kidneys, his liver is giving him issues. He can't sleep at night, and you know, and then as he's turning over, that's when this all falls into place, and this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. That's the Melech Tipesh. But the Melech Chacham, if he's the mastermind, he's busy thinking over at night, and he's jealous. Why is Haman here? What's going on? Why was Haman invited to the meal? And then he says, you know, maybe I'll make a test here. You know, maybe I'm mistaken about Haman. Let me ask him something I know that through his egotistical prism of the world, he'll think is himself. And let's see what Haman really thinks about himself. And Haman fails the test. You know why? Because he asks for the king's clothes, the king's horse, and the king's crown. There is no greater way of showing your cards than showing that you really want the kisei amlucha than this. Which means the king had set up Haman to fail, which is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan was, what Esther ultimately was trying to bring about. Let's look at the last few psukim in the parak, the law of Yud Beis to Yud Dalet, in which he now returns home. There Mordechai returns to the Shar HaMelech, Haman returns to his house, Avel v'chafui roshis, so to speak, mourning, his head is covered, and he tells everything what's going on. Asher kol asher korohu, and they say to him, you know, if the Mizera Yehudim, if this fellow is from this Mordechai is from the seed of the Jews, you started to fall in front of him, you're not going to be able to beat him, you're going to fall in front of him, and before he has a chance to even respond, then he is summoned to the Suda, the second Suda of Esther, and the next round of machinations opens up. Why is he called an Avel, a mourner here? The Megillah, the Gemara Megillah, Daf Tes Zayin, but tells us famously that his daughter was actually out overlooking. She was looking through the window and she sees, you know, somebody looking very royal and noble being led in the street by another person. She felt the person leading him must be the fulfillment of Haman's plan, which was Mordechai must be doing this for Haman. So she throws all kinds of garbage, some sewage out onto the head of the person leading the horse. When she realizes her mistake, she is so aghast that she commits suicide. And so he returns to his house now, not only with his own personal tragedy, but also now bereft of his daughter as well. Why over here do the Chacham of his friends and his wife change their tune? Like beforehand, that was so gung ho, put up that tree, let's get him hanged, and everything should be fine. Why did they get change their perspective? Yeah. So it's interesting. The Malbim says that he says that from their perspective, that they saw him go out and, you know, early in the morning, in the early, wee hours of the morning, with a plan to assassinate Mordechai, and he comes back. The next thing they know, that he's on the, you know, on the front of the, all the Twitter feeds is Haman leading Mordechai. So they think, oh man, things must have gone really bad. So Haman tries to mitigate that by saying, no, it's kosher koro. I didn't even have a chance to present my option before the king made this plan and sent me on this terrible mission. It's all korohu, it's all happenstance, says the Bior Argra. And that's precisely what they realize, is that there's something so wrong here. Something so wrong is afoot from their perspective, that there must be a bigger picture here. And if there's a bigger picture, that what looks like asher kol asher korohu, everything which is happenstance, has gone so awry, then you know that really, in fact, there must be something worse coming. And the other mikre, the other happenstance, which was the goral against the Yehudim, which is the national plot, may now be at great threat. And that's what they're saying to him. And this ends the parak on a cliff's edge as we move into the next seudah. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.